Greetings, peace be upon you, and welcome back to the broadcast. Today is Monday, April 8th, the day of the Great American Eclipse, or the morning of, I should say. I'd be lying if I say I didn't have a heavy heart this morning. And look, maybe this is all going to go by and we'll roll into Tuesday like nothing ever happened. It's just bizarre to me, and there's a strange feeling that I have. Now, I know many of you listening, you know, you're not necessarily from the United States. This is a non-event for you. You may even be thinking, big deal, eclipses happen all the time. I would recommend that if you haven't already, you would go listen to the podcast that I did a week or two ago. It's probably been a couple of weeks. Called The Great American Eclipse, Babylon the Great, The Last Generation. I did that on February 28th. So I guess it's been well over a month ago. You know, I just, and part of it might be that because I live here in the Midwest, we have thousands of people. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people pouring into this part of the country to view the eclipse. All the hotels around me are fully booked. Campgrounds, you know, open places like that are packed out with people. All the schools around here are closed. There's billboards, there's signs, there's merchandise, I've just never seen something like this with this much attention. It almost feels like God wants everyone to take note. And listen, 90%, it might be 99%, they just look at this like it's some cute event. They don't think of it through spiritual eyes because they don't think of the world that way. They don't think of the heavens that way. And then you have Christians condemning other Christians for paying attention to it, accusing them of astrology. Well, that's not the case. And yes, we're not for astrology, but we are for astronomy. If I butchered that word there. But the Word of God tells us from the very beginning that the point of all of those things in the heavens is to be signs to demonstrate seasons and days and years. So if you go to Genesis, very first chapter, verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And then the secondary thing is verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. The word there for seasons is the Hebrew word moed, which means appointed times. Same word used when talking about the feast of God, the biblical feast. So they are important, and these signs, they do mean something. There's just a lot of weird behavior surrounding it as well. We talked about a lot of this, but I think I put the podcast out before we knew that NASA was going to fire 3 rockets at the eclipse. That's kind of bizarre. That's kind of strange. There's just all this heaviness about it. I think that it would be cool, and I've even prayed, Lord, you should just make maybe when it gets over in New York, when the eclipse arrives there, one of the last places, you should just freeze it there for like 4 hours. And maybe that would get the attention of the American people, that their idea of science and what the heavens are and all of that can go down the drain, and man can be humbled and realize that they don't have it all figured out, and they don't understand everything, and that maybe, just maybe, there's a higher power in control of all these things. I don't know what today's going to bring. I really don't. And sometimes, a lot of times with these things, you know, if it is a warning or, you know, something along those lines, it may be a couple months down the road before we see what the end result was. I don't know, but I feel certain in my soul and in my heart that it's not nothing. It's not nothing. It's definitely something. And I, again, go listen to that podcast where I broke down some of the things about it. We're going to look at our Psalms and our Proverbs today. We're ready for Psalm 19 and Proverbs 22. We start every week. If you're new to the podcast, we start every week like this. And I don't schedule it out. You know, there's times when I miss a Monday here and there. We just go through it chapter by chapter. It just so happens that the chapter that lands for this Monday is Psalm 19 and the very first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I couldn't have scheduled that out and planned that out and made that happen. It's the word of God living. None of this is by accident. I know I'm rambling this morning. Heavy heart, as many of you. Let's look at Psalm 19. Let's get some wisdom and some encouragement here, and then we'll move on to our Proverbs, which I haven't pre-read. I don't know what it... Psalm 22, maybe it'll line up as well. Open up your hearts. Humble yourself before God. Psalm 19, King James Bible. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There's the first six verses. Again, I couldn't have planned this and scheduled it this perfectly if my life depended on it. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin, and let it not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That's Psalm 19. The law of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. One of my prayers that I pray almost every day comes out of this psalm, which is, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. You say, what is presumptuous sin? It's sin that's on purpose, so to speak. John Wesley puts it this way. From known and evident sins, such as committed against knowledge, against the checks of conscience, and the motions of God's Spirit. If I be at any time tempted to such sins, Lord, let them not prevail over me. That's what David is saying. Don't let me go against what I know is right. You could also look at the Hebrew word there. It has to do with, also has to do with pride, arrogance. Lord, keep me from that kind of sin. Keep us back from presumptuous sin. And he says, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. David understood that the heart was desperately wicked. All right. Let's see if any wisdom is to be had. Let's move on to Proverbs 19. Or I'm sorry, it's actually Proverbs 22. That's what we're ready for today. Let's see if there be any wisdom here for us. Verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple passed on and are punished. Please note, I kind of feel that way about the current situation in time, don't you? It's like the prudent man, he sees something's happening. But the simple, the ignorant, they're just like, they think it's fun and cute. Not understanding the dangers. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, that is to say, the perverse. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath bountiful eyes shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit, he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Please note, remember that these wisdoms were written to Solomon, from Solomon to his sons. He's warning them that a woman who is not your wife, that you're just drawn to by your own lust, that is a deep pit. Pleasure for a moment, regrets for a lifetime. That's what Solomon's trying to teach his boys, and he knows, a man who's had hundreds, if not thousands, of women from all over the world. Solomon's well aware that it never satisfies. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the end of correction shall drive it far from him. Let me read that again. I read it wrong. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's two verses about children. Raise them up in the right way, and they won't depart from it when they're old. And because children are children, and they're kind of foolish, because they don't know the world, and they don't know and how things work, you got to correct them with the rod. You got to discipline them. Verse 16, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou wilt keep them from within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have I not written to thee excellent things, and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Rob not the poor, because he is poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Please note, I've said it to my son his whole life. I heard it from a mentor growing up. You are who you surround yourself with. You are who you surround yourself with. That's what Solomon's saying here. Don't make friendship with angry men. Don't be spending your time with these types of people. It'll become a snare to your soul. Four more verses. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Again, he's talking about the dangers of debt. He's talked about that multiple times in this proverb. Two more verses. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, and not stand before mean men. That is our study for this morning. I pray you've been blessed. Can I just read those first four verses of that psalm again quickly? To end. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.